Good morning, church, and
morning, Chris.
It's been a wonderful service up to this point, hasn't it? Just to hear those stories and to realize that people are living out their faith. The first thing I want to do, I want to say a big thank you to the recent preachers who shared their preaching around Jesus as King. To Kate and Guy, to Chris Pope. They did a marvellous job. I loved those series. I hope it continues on in some form or another. This week has been a very significant week for the athletic people here in Auckland. On Wednesday evening, a 15-year-old boy from Tauranga, his name is Sam, he was the youngest person in history to break the 4-minute mile barrier in 3 minutes 58 seconds. Can you imagine it? No wonder there was lots of celebration about it all. His coach, Craig Kirkwood, had been working with Sam since 2 years ago. And you can imagine all the discipline, all the habits that Sam needed to create to put him in a position to run that, well, it wasn't a marathon, but that mile race under the time, under the 4 minutes. I bet you he had lots of early mornings. Lots of times he had to say no to other things so he could get out there and run. This morning I want to look at a few verses in Scripture that describes the race that we're in. If we can have that PowerPoint now. And it comes from Hebrews. It probably wasn't Paul who wrote it, but perhaps you know about this verse. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. When we become Christians, God places new life within us. And the race begins that we live out this life in our context. Now, we've heard stories this morning of people that are living out their faith in realistic day-to-day experiences. Thank you to those that shared. It encourages us. We're all involved in a race. But God did not intend for us to run that race alone. I read a story about the Pittsburgh Marathon. Now, I've never run a marathon, though we have a son that does. But it's just a wonderful story. It concerns two women. There was a Laura, and she was running her 12th marathon. But she was worried about finishing last. Things weren't going very well for her in this marathon. And then there was another person. Her name is Jessica. This is the first time that she ran a marathon. And they met up sort of together about the 13-kilometer stretch into the marathon, which is the 42 kilometers. And they were both wondering if they were going to make it to the end. Well, it's not hard to imagine what they felt like. It must have been hugely difficult. And then something beautiful starts to happen. They start talking together. And then Laura says to Jessica, "I'll stay with you if you stay with me." So for the next 19 kilometers, they encourage each other, they support each other, and keep each other sort of moving towards the end. And when they reached the 41 kilometers, they realized that the end was just around the corner. It was going to happen very shortly. And Laura grabs Jessica by her hand and says, "Let's go." They finish together crossing that line. I think that's a wonderful picture of how we can give encouragement to one another as we run our marathon in living out our Christian values in day-to-day life. I enjoy watching One News. Helen and I often laugh because at the end of the news, she might say to me, "What did you learn?" I probably have been sleeping all through the news. But anyway, I still enjoy it. But recently, there's been a lot of exposure to the cyclone Alfred that hit the Gold Coast in Australia. And the strong winds, wow, the cyclone, rain, everything, wind, it all happened at once. And then there were some pictures of some huge trees that had been unearthed and they'd fallen over. And some went over the power lines and, of course, caused all sorts of havoc. But the thing that I noticed was the big taproots that were yanked out of the ground and they were just totally exposed. And if we would have looked at those trees and said, "That's impossible. That couldn't happen," but it did happen because of the force of the cyclone. You know, there's some other trees that have a different system of rooting, and they are called redwood trees, particularly prominent in California, but we have them in Rotorua, and they have them in Australia as well. But they don't have a deep tap root. Their roots only grow into the ground for 1.5 meters to 2 meters. But the roots grow outwards. So when there's a cluster of redwood trees, all their roots are gathered together, interlocking, interdependence, they call it. And they're working together, and they provide the stability that it can survive any storm. I think it's a wonderful picture of what God calls us to be as the cornerstone Christian church. May God give us those roots. We need to go deep too, but let's go outward. Let's be aware of those around us. Now, in that scripture reading that I read, it talks about perseverance. In the Oxford Dictionary, it gives a definition. Persistence in doing something despite the difficulty or delay in achieving success. I think perseverance is something that our friends can help us with. And It makes all the difference if somebody will come in and speak an encouraging word to us. It just sort of builds up that perseverance. Let's be on the lookout of how we can reach out our hand and grab it and finish together in helping somebody else. We all have those moments when we're down, and perseverance is struggling. But we can strengthen one another. During the week, I found a very helpful book titled Holy Habits. Doesn't sound particularly that interesting, but it was. And it talked about how to walk with Jesus for a lifetime. And the main message of this book was very simple. Your life is not the sum of your intentions. Your life is not the sum of your goals, but your life is the sum of your habits. Aristotle said, "We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence is not an act, but a habit." Stephen Covey has written lots of books, and he says, we become what we repeatedly do. And basically the book is saying, people who are successful spiritually have consistently engaged in the right habits. I think we've heard that in the testimonies that were shared this morning. And he said there's three habits that he wants to incorporate in his life, the author of this book. One is spending time in God's Word. God's Word is life. It's sustenance. In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, by your words, I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. I thought it was interesting in John and sharing his testimony. He mentioned, what the scriptures were saying. And even though it was a bit of a challenge to try to join that to what he was experiencing. But he was moved on to seeing the way forward. So spending time in God's Word is number one. The second habit is meeting with God in prayer. I actually find this the most difficult area, to have that habit that is consistent in my life. Sure, I can pray for a few minutes every morning, but to actually spend time where it's a real dialogue, a two-way dialogue with our Heavenly Father. I came across these verses, first of all, from Proverbs. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Then in Philippians, Paul says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayer. Let God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. So first of all, the first habit, spending time with God in God's Word. Secondly, meeting with God in prayer. And thirdly, spending time with God's people. What we're doing here this morning is a wonderful habit. And it's so important to be committed to that, because there's deep value in our connection of one another to strengthen and help us. In Africa, in our days of being living in a village in West Africa, a lot of the cooking is done at ground level. And all the ladies had a little low-lying stool in their kitchens. Perhaps there would be two or three of them. But there was only three legs. And if you took one leg away, obviously what happens to the stool? It collapses. And that sometimes did happen, that the legs became loose in the joints and collapsed. Fortunately, you didn't have far to fall. I think these habits are like that three-legged stool. You need all three so that it's functioning correctly. You need that spending time in God's Word, meeting with God in prayer, spending time with God's people. But if we go back to Hebrews 11, which is up on the screen, it talks about, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. This is the essential part. This is the wonderful part. That's what we can do. We can fix our eyes on Jesus because he is there to strengthen us. Now, we've heard that in the testimonies this morning, haven't we? Jesus overruled. Jesus had his purpose and plan. And fixing our eyes on Jesus is where our strength comes from. And during the course of a race, as Christians, we need to keep that focus on the Lord Jesus. But it's interesting, there's a special Greek word that they're used here for looking. It indicates the action of one who is aware of rival attractions, but deliberately looking away from other things. It just isn't the beginning of the race, but constantly through the whole race, this is when we develop a sense of Jesus being present. There are times in our life that we have to look away from other things so we can just look at Jesus, because that's where our strength comes from. So often we think our strength will come from another source, but it doesn't. It comes from Jesus. And that's where we need to keep the focus. And there is the times that you have to look away. Say, no, I want to focus on Jesus in this situation. It's a discipline. It's a habit. It's something we have to develop. And I'm sure young Sam, as he was learning to run fast, he had to keep his focus very, very clear. I think it's great that this morning that we're shortly going to be celebrating communion together, because I think this is partly a step in which we look to Jesus. We put that focus on the one where it should be. I remember Chris Pope gave us that outline. You remember it? What? So what? Now what? Very simple. We've got to the now what. Jesus has called us to run that race with perseverance, to keep our eyes focused on him. How are you doing in your race? What's the now what for you? What do you take away from this? How could you be building, strengthening those habits in your life? How can you make it go deeper? We all know what happened in communion, and we do it weekly, which is wonderful. But during the meal with his disciples, Jesus took and blessed the bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples. And these are the words that he said. take, eat. This is my body. Taking the cup and thanking God he gave it to them. Drink this, all of you. This is my blood, God's new covenant, poured out for many people for the forgiveness of sins. I'm not drinking wine from this cup again until the new day when I drink it with you in the kingdom of my Father. And then the disciples sang a hymn together and went directly to the Mount of Olives. And then after the Mount of Olives, Jesus was proceeding towards going to the cross so that he could bring salvation for each of us. Communion is a time that we remember Christ's death in the past. It's also a time to be aware of his presence in our lives now. And it's also a time to anticipate his coming again. Jesus died for you. Jesus shed his blood for you. You have been forgiven. You have been made a child of God. His Spirit has been sent to dwell in you personally. Jesus' body was broken for you. His healing and restoring power is available to you personally. In Hebrews chapter 4, if we can have the second slide, it's a wonderful verse. And I like to remind myself of this. I'm going to leave this up while the elements are distributed for you to think about and to meditate upon it. In Hebrews chapter 4, now that we know what we have, Jesus the high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weaknesses and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. Let's go before Jesus. Take the mercy, accept the help. Let's distribute the elements now. And when you receive the elements, please just hang on to them and we'll partake of them together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, first of all, we just want to say thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your goodness that you pour out upon your people. Thank you that we belong to you, that we are your children, your sons and daughters. And you have cleansed us from all unrighteousness. You have enabled us to walk in freedom, to live out our Christian life in a way that is pleasing for you. And Lord, we're very conscious that we are in a race. There's the ups and downs, and there's the tough times. And there's times where we feel somewhat discouraged, but thank you that you're always there, and we can focus our attention on you. And you always come through for us. And you enable us to pick ourselves up and to keep on running. So Lord, as your people, we just present ourselves to you. Lord, you know our individual journeys. You know where we're hurting. And thank you that you come to give rest and a new focus, and that possibility of keep on going. So Lord, we remember you and all that you've done for us. and continue to do for us. And we think of that future when we'll all be together in your new kingdom. So, Lord, we just say thank you. So now we partake of those elements in remembrance of you. Let's eat and drink.